Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, July 12, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharvich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Excuse me. We're located here in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and our website is centralmetalscorp.com. And our phone number is 800-649-6722. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you can direct those to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. We'll start off with a couple of quotes here today. Let's start with gold and silver. Gold is down $6.26 at $12.77. Silver is at 1986. It's down about 10 cents. We have the Dow up 265 at 15,463. And crude oil is doing very well. It's up over $100. It's 104.92. It's up 54 cents today. And the U.S. dollar index is up a little bit at 83.05. So I've seen a little bit of movement in the market, and let's bring in our regular guest, Jeff from Calgary. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Bosco. Back in Calgary, you out in Windsor? We're back to old times, aren't we?
Yeah. Back in the saddle, I guess. How's the things working out well with the flood? People are getting things back in order down there in Calgary?
Yes, remarkably well. The Calgarians are a pretty resilient bunch, and as I was just telling Bosco a few minutes ago, ladies and gentlemen, I got caught in the floods in Toronto as well. So I went from the flooding in Calgary to the flooding in Toronto. It was a bit unfortunate and a bit deja vu-ish, if you will. Bosco, I want to talk a couple of things about some observations about commodities in terms of our mindset and our terms for whether commodities are doing well or not. It would appear as if the crude oil price, the price difference between Brent crude, which is overseas crude, and West Texas Intermediate crude, which is one that is priced and sold in Texas, right? So we now are seeing a very, very small, in fact, negligible, less than 2%, differential. And what was happening for the longest time is that Brent crude oil price, for the Brent crude oil, was $10 or $20 a barrel more expensive. And now I think what they've done, pardon the cynic in me, I think what they've done is the West Texas guys have said, we have so much supply in North America, let's bump the price up so we can start to realize the margins in there, so we can start to realize more on the differential, which is right. Something that we as Canadians have an affliction of as well, because we in Canada get less on the open market for our oil because of the supply and the pipeline differential issues. So the Americans, when they sell their oil, they get world price, and when we sell our oil to the Americans, we get less than world price. And that brings us back to the gold price and why gold seems to be an interesting source of topic. Certainly, it's one of our theme and variations. But, Bosco, why don't we dive into we've got two or three listeners' questions, and why don't we dive into those for the moment?
Yeah, let's start with one that came in, actually, on Sunday night. This listener didn't leave his name, so anonymous, I guess. The question is... he's read, I guess, that the velocity of money in the U.S. has reached an all-time low. Any comments on that? He's got two questions, so we'll start off with that one.
Okay. Well, let's
maybe you could give our listeners a definition of what the velocity of money really is.
Right. And why don't we do that? Why don't we start with velocity of money? In the system that we have, the fiscal or the monetary system that we have, money is created by the Federal Reserve, and it is printed, and then it is lent to the banks, and the banks lend it out. So the banks borrow from the Federal Reserve, And then the normal banks, the city banks and the like, they lend it out to customers. Now, that it is called a, It is called the...
Well, it's the ratio of GNP to the total money supply, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the banking system is a leveraged system where the banks are required to maintain a 10%. If the bank has $100 in its vault, it can lend out 90%.
Right.
So, in fact, that system means that the banks can, and they keep lending out 90%. So the velocity of money, ladies and gentlemen, is a modality that says as long as money is flowing and everybody is spending, then you can have a fractional reserve system. That's what it was called, fractional reserve banking system.
Right.
And the velocity of money, as long as the money velocity is moving, then the economy is okay. It can maintain its health. But what does happen is when people start to go, yeah, I'm not going to buy that. No, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm going to slow my spending down. The velocity of money slows down. So that, in effect, makes the printing of money completely irrelevant because what they want to do is print money to see if people will spend more. But if nobody's spending anymore, it doesn't matter what they're doing. The printing of money is having no effect. And this is what they found over the last several years, is that the velocity of money is slowing further and further and further. Now, that being said, this is one of the reasons why Bosco and I have been talking about the powers that be are now saying, oh my, maybe printing money isn't doing anything because the velocity of money is zero. Why don't we go in and start to steal people's money, which would be called the confiscatory legislation, or let's go confiscate people's money, or the bail-in. This is what they did again in Cyprus. They just went in and said, everybody who has money in the bank, we're going to go take it. That being said, when the velocity of money is the lowest, this is the reason why they're saying printing money is not effective anymore. We've shot that bullet. That bullet has been spent. Now what we'll do is we'll put confiscatory legislation in hand where we can go and steal people's money out of the bank. And what will happen, we trust, and what we hope will evolved is people will say, I don't feel safe with my money in the bank, so I'm going to go and withdraw it from the bank and buy real assets, gold, silver, real estate, farm animals, land, the like.
Sure. And I think some people are, I read an article this week that a lot of these banks are not, they're supposed to, when they receive money from the Fed, they're supposed to be lending it out to businesses to, to keep that velocity of money going so that businesses can develop new products or, produce goods and services and so on. And, the banks are it's kind of strange. The banks are just sitting, they're recapitalized their system, but they're supposed to be lending it out and they're not. And then what's happening, the money's being taken away from the depositors. So it's a strange situation that we have there. I think that there's some agenda by the Fed or there's something strange happening because, that might even be the reason why it could be that the employment numbers are not where they, I guess, want them to be because the if they're not lending money to businesses, then they can't go out and hire employees. But, that plays a big factor in where all the jobs are going, too. So, I don't know. Let's go on to the next question here. The question is from this listener is, if one can pay off their mortgage, should they or invest the money in tangible assets and not worry about it? What do you think, Jeff?
This is a great question and one where there really isn't a clear answer and one where it depends on your agenda. Also, there is a context that Bosco and I talk about in terms of, and Jim Rogers is a big guy to say this. He just basically says, I'm a lousy trader. I miss the highs and lows, and I don't know when to do it. I just know the basic principle behind it. So in terms of if you have money to pay off your mortgage, it's always a sound idea, being out of debt. Because when you are in debt, the guy who owns the mortgage on your house, he can call the mortgage at any time in some circumstances, and then you're at his peril. So if a bank goes bankrupt and all of a sudden they have to call everybody's mortgages, that puts you in trouble. So that's where you are at risk of counterparties. So if a bank goes bankrupt, you have to be. Now, paying off your mortgage is a good thought. Now, if you have cash right now, here's another alternative. I'm not suggesting that you don't pay off your mortgage, but another alternative is investing in gold and silver, because where we think the economy is going is that gold and silver are going to be the only good store of value in the coming calamity, what is currently happening. So in all fairness, your house may be worth, let's pick a number, Bosco, your house is worth $750,000. The economic storm that we are in the middle of right now is devastating everything. Soon your house may be only worth $400,000 because there's no buyers for it. And the currencies are compromised, and maybe gold is now worth $5,000, which is what we hear many people saying. So if there's nobody to buy your house has no value. Now, that being said, we're going to come to a deflation and an inflationary question here shortly. So if I had my druthers, I would do both if it's possible. Buy gold and silver and pay off your mortgage. At this instant in time, if you're fine in terms of paying off your mortgage over time, you will be paying off your mortgage with currency that is being devalued as we speak. So you're paying off debt with less valuable current dollars over time. And that's why one of the reasons buying gold right now, in our opinion, is probably not an imprudent act, something that we would recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough question, because there's a lot of different factors that come into play for every individual. Each circumstance is different. So I think, you know, it depends on your job security, and, you know, that's more of a financial planning question where, you know, we have to look at the big picture. But, yeah, Jeff is right. I mean, it's better in this environment if it's possible to do both. I agree. And, you know, it depends on your the term of your mortgage, the interest, and those kind of things. So to our listener, R.E. Wings, part of his email here, if you want to give us a call, you can reach me at 800-649-6722. And for Jeff, if you want to send Jeff an email, Jeff, you want to give out your email address?
My email address is viatao@gmail.com.
Okay, so hopefully we answered the questions there. Jeff, we have another question from Tom in Nevada, who's a regular listener. He wanted to for us to discuss the inflation-deflation debate and how it would affect gold in each different scenario. So you want to start us off with that?
Okay. Now, there have been some brilliant, brilliant pieces written on this, and some of them are controversial at best because their perspective is different than conventional economists. Now, we, as you well know, ladies and gentlemen, both Bosco and I are pretty non-conventional. Now, let's chat a little about the simple term for deflation and the simple term for inflation. Deflation is when things are slowing down, so that the supply and demand venue starts to slow down. When velocity of money slows down, people are less desirous of spending money, people are more worried about the future, that would be a consumer confidence index is falling. That would produce deflationary effects on an economy, on just a little village, if you would, right? So things would slow down and prices would recede or start to decline, deflate, they would. Now, inflationary is where growth rates and the economy is moving quite quickly and starting to grow and heat up. And what conventionally the Feds would do, the Federal Reserve would do, is they would raise interest rates to cool down the economy. So when the Fed says we're going to raise interest rates to cool down the economy, They're lying at the moment because we know the economy couldn't be any cooler. But they also are starting to recognize that because of the debt incurred on all of this, if they raise their interest rates just a smidgen, it's going to have a devastating effect in terms of the carrying costs of their debt. Mm-hmm. So what does tend to happen, as we just said, what they'll do is they will print money. Now, printing money is inflationary. If you have 100 units of money outstanding, and now all of a sudden you have 200 units of money outstanding, really, things should be twice as expensive. They need twice as many dollars to buy them. And this is what has transpired with the price of gold. Gold has gone up quite dramatically until the powers that be say, oof, we're doing things that are inflationary. Maybe we should trade the price of gold debt back down to tell everybody everything's copacetic. But because of the debt, because of the leverage that everybody's incurred, they're now starting to see that the printing of money isn't as effective as they would have wanted to. Or in fact, it's run its course. It doesn't make any difference anymore how much money they print. And that will have a devaluation on the currency. The currency will, you know, in the Weimar Republic, Bosco and I talk about where in Germany you needed a wheelbarrow full of cash in order to buy a loaf of bread. That could potentially happen, or we could have somebody step up to the plate and create a currency that is perhaps global. I suspect there is collusion and talks of the like going on with the powers that be that suggests that maybe having a global currency is how that they rein in the massive fiscal incongruencies and ridiculousness that they've been playing with. So that's a little insight into deflationary effect and inflationary effect.
Yeah, and it, you know, to add to that comment, I mean, I think that we already have a global currency, and that's gold. You know, but it's just, it's not, I mean, it's recognized around the world and people use it. You can't, it's not a accepted medium of exchange, officially anyway. You know, I think if the powers that be do create a new type of currency, it's probably going to be referenced to gold, or there's going to be some calculation or attachment to gold in some way. Maybe it might not be a gold standard, but I think that they can't ignore gold completely and just create a new fiat currency. I don't think people are going to respect it or use it. And, you know, this is the bizarre thing. I you know, just with what you just discussed, you know, in an inflationary environment, you know, they're printing money, and the velocity of money should be high, right? Because the more money they're printing, the more money in circulation. But now we have the Fed is printing money, and we also have the velocity of money is at all-time low. So we have a, I don't know what you want to call it, Jeff, it's a bizarre situation. It's like inflation and deflation at the same time. You know, it's strange because, you know, in a deflationary environment, people don't want to spend their money because they think the prices are going to go down, that they'll be able to buy it for cheaper in the future. In an inflationary environment, people want to spend their money, right? The velocity of money is faster because they think prices are going to be higher in the future, so they want to go out and spend their money as fast as possible. But it's just not happening. This is a very bizarre situation we have. And
it happens, Bosco.
I don't know how it's going to work out.
Now, the banks are now sitting on a whole bunch of money, and because they're sort of the fox in the chicken house, now that they have so much money that they aren't lending out, they start to trade on it or lever it even further, so they start to expose themselves. And one of the ways that the banks make their money is by taking trades. Well, now when you manipulate the market, you can make all kinds of money in making trades, which is what the banks are doing. The banks right now are making all kinds of money, which is an interesting incongruity, right? Because I think the general population would want nothing of the banks making money by the way that the governments have just basically given them a whole bunch of money and then sent them on a trading spree, if you will.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm a more in the belief that we're going to experience a higher inflationary environment. But in either case, okay, and I try and explain this to my clients, by going to gold, the main reason for going to gold is more or less for safety and to secure your standard of living. Okay, gold, theoretically speaking, you really don't profit that much from gold, because what you're doing is you're just eliminating the counterparties between you and the value of your money. Okay, whether, you know, taking it out of the bank, okay, if there's a counterparty risk, the bank is the counterparty, and we've all seen what's going on in Cyprus and with the bail-in. So taking your money out of the bank and putting it into gold, yes, the price is going to fluctuate, but over the long term, your standard of living should maintain its value when you judge it against goods and services. So you should be able to purchase the same goods and services for your gold today that you did 50 years ago. You know, it's going to be around the same. It might not be exactly, but, you know, even in a deflationary environment, okay, gold will probably be the asset that falls in price the least. So, you know, you'll be able to still maintain your standard of living. This is the whole purpose of going to gold. It's more or less of an insurance against the risk of the economy or the financial situation and political unrest and so on. But, I mean, I believe that, okay, yes, in a hyperinflationary environment, some people will become super wealthy when measured against other people that didn't buy gold. But I think that the standard of living will more or less be the same as it was before. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think that going to gold is more, the focus should be more on safety.
Well, let me dive in here a bit, Bosco, because I think here's a scenario, and I think there's wealth protection.
Yep.
And I think I'd like to clarify a little about. Wealth protection is something where they don't come and steal your money out of the bank. Like, so it protects your wealth. But I also think, Bosco, I have a bit of a difference of opinion. I do think that in the collapse of an economy, I think those people who own a whole bunch of gold will actually benefit quite greatly. And I think that's not lost on the powers that be. So I think it isn't a function of it'll keep you flat. I think it's a function of it will be quite brilliantly contributory to increasing your wealth relative to the collapse of other things. So Bosco seems to think, or has sort of said, it might be flat, and I'm a little more optimistic, and I think that having gold will be incredibly beneficial for you, as opposed to just keeping you whole. I think it will do more than keep you whole. I think those really smart individuals in the market and those really smart politicians who know how the world works are going into gold as heavily as they possibly can. And I think we also see cultures where the culture in and of itself recognizes the intrinsic value of gold going nuts wherever it is. We saw, I think you posted something from Jim Rogers on the site the other day, Bosco, where Jim Rogers said, I mean, everyone in Singapore and in Asia, throughout Asia, guys are buying up gold as fast as they can. We culturally, North America, are so far out of the what is gold loop that because we've been brainwashed by the powers that be that gold isn't important. But I'll tell you, at the end of this fiasco, owning gold will benefit you greatly.
No, I mean, I agree that owning gold is definitely beneficial. I guess everyone has a difference, but you know, either way, I'm still bullish on gold. I think it's the best place to be. You know, in the future, what the environment is going to be like, I mean, I agree with Jeff. I think for going, people that have gold are going to be better off than others, for sure. But, I mean, theoretically, I was speaking that, you know, it's more or less for insurance, but it's hard to say. There's so many different factors to consider. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
you know, there's going to be social unrest, and ultimately, I don't know. You know, you want to have, you still want to be diversified. I don't think that people should have all their money in gold. But you know, that definition of being diversified, that's constantly portrayed in the financial community, where you put all your money in the market and spread it around, I don't think that's really being diversified. My opinion of being diversified is have a little bit of money in the market, a little bit of money in cash at home or whatever, a little bit of money in real estate, maybe some land, some gold and silver, and something else that people might be comfortable with putting their money in, whether it be, you know, we mentioned before in the program, gardening and, you know, food storage, a cellar in your basement, and those kind of things. That's my view of being diversified.
And that, I mean,
putting all your money in the market.
That resonates with the whole context of being self-reliant. I mean, self-reliance is always a good thing. However, I might add, Bosco, that maybe there is a possibility that the economic calamity, the political calamity, we need to talk about Obama gently signing this internet kill switch in that was raised in February of last year, and he actually signed it into law currently. But with the current calamity that is going on, the old paradigm thinking that being diversified and having your eggs in many baskets, and that generally is not uncommon sense, I think the, in all fairness, Bosco, I think the powers that be that see this happening, I think many of them are getting out as much as they can and getting into physical gold. And I think, you know, they know how the game is played, and they're not stupid, and they also are incredibly greedy. We, on the other hand, don't promote greed. We just promote secure your wealth, wealth protection. And I do think that the stock market is, we talked about this last week, didn't we, Bosco? The stock market is at risk of collapse if you have too many banks go under or too many countries go under, or if you have too many calamities going on at the same time. They can't stick that many fingers in the dike. And I do think gold is a very real, and it has been real for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Yep.
It's a store of wealth. Yep. And, you know, so I am personally, ladies and gentlemen, far more heavily invested in gold than I am in anything else. Yep. Merely because I believe of what I speak. And also, as Bosco points out, and I'm not getting paid to do any of this, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to understand, folks, that with Jeff's, you know, experience in the markets and otherwise, he's the, you know, he doesn't receive anything from me. He's, you know, occasionally we talk about the markets and gold and so on in private, but we're both, you know, obviously I'm in the gold business. I'm invested in gold. I tend to invest in my own business, which is kind of investing in gold. So, yes, I mean, you know, for full disclosure, I have my own gold and silver investments, and I have real estate, obviously. And, you know, I, you know, my wife and I have been gardening, and we started learning how to garden, and I actually purchased a lot of seeds and stuff last year, and so that's one part of how I'm trying to be self-reliant. Gardening might not be for everybody, but I like it, and my wife likes it.
Well, and it falls back into self-reliance, and also don't believe the thing we say, ladies and gentlemen. Go and do your own research.
Yep.
The good news about what's going on right now is, if you don't do any research, the powers that be will tell you what to think and how to think it. If you do your research, there are now available venues where you can go and find out information that is definitively food for thought. It gives you something to think about. And we talk about all of this stuff on this program, to which I now want to sort of dive into this this venue of Obama giving himself control of all communication systems in America. As you well know, there's in February of last year, I think, they tabled an executive order, and literally on Friday, July 5th, Obama signed it, in a manner that he can control all private communications in the country in the name of national security. Good God, Moscow. I mean, we did make a big fuss about this at the time. But heavens to flipping Betsy, this is ridiculous. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that just like in Egypt, just like in Tunisia, just like in Libya, the government can turn the internet off because then they can control what you see and hear and think. Mm-hmm. This is out flipping outrageous. And it is also part of a piece that we did some time ago, Bosco, on the 10 steps that close an open society. Now, I'll run through a few of them, maybe not all of them, but let me tell you something that was put together on the historians looking back on Nazi Germany in order to facilitate.
Just let me jump in real quick, Jeff. You know, folks, you have to understand, like just from my experience just this week, I went to the grocery store and their credit and debit machines were down and they only accepted cash. And people in the store at the time were leaving because they had no cash. Okay, so you can imagine when they kill the internet or shut it down for a day or two, you can't do any banking. You probably won't be able to do any debit transactions. If you don't have cash on hand, I mean, this is the whole thing about, Jeff always says, self-reliance. You have to have some cash available at home so you can survive and conduct transactions in the real world. You know, and they might lock up your banking online, and so, you know, you have to be careful about that.
Sorry, I had students in my engineering class, ladies and gentlemen, that they were from London, from England, and Barclays Bank, their debit card machines went out for a week. Oh, we have a computer glitch.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, frightening stuff. Okay, now let's get back to a study that was done on Nazi Germany. And it was called 10 Steps that close an Open Society. And the first step was invoke an internal and external threat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what they've done is they've said, the bad guys are coming to get us. Okay? And and Hitler evoked the threat of non-Aryans, or Jews, basically, but... Mm-hmm. What he did is he made everybody proud of the fact that they were Aryan in his term, and then he attacked the civil liberties and the civil rights of the Jews. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Nowadays the internal and the external threat is terrorism, mm-hmm. and there is an ever increasing amount of money being spent on terrorism. And what Obama's just said is, we are going to compromise all of your civil liberties mm-hmm. in order to fight this threat. And you know what? They've got the meme, Bosco. The meme is a thought form that is absolutely and not necessarily true. The meme is, everybody says, well, what do I have to worry? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When they want to push the hammer down, they will incarcerate and they will toss all kinds of people away, which is what they do. Oh, that would be step number two. Establish secret prisons, to confiscate people's wealth and to get rid of them. Oh, what was Hitler doing? He'd come in and in the middle of the night, he'd come in and round up all the Jews and take them away to, oh my, they'd take them away to prison camps. Well, what are they doing now? Let's go on Guantanamo Bay, right? Develop a paramilitary force. What's that called, Bosco? Oh, it's called Homeland Security. Did we mention the other day, ladies and gentlemen, that Homeland Security has recently purchased 450 million hollow point bullets? Heavens to flipping death. That's enough to kill everybody in the States 1.5 times. And Homeland Security what they're doing is they're securing the government, perhaps. Okay? Surveil ordinary citizens. This is what the Nazis did. This is what the Americans have just done. They've just exposed it. This is what this guy in Russia is doing. What's his name, Moscow? The guy that from NSA who blew the whistle on the fact that they were gathering up all this information on all the internet.
Oh, Snowden.
Snowden, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is used to instill fear in the general public by watching them, and they are. They are gathering all this information up, and they are watching them, right? Yeah. A bit scary, Bosco. Yeah. I could go on and on and on, yes, but this was done on Nazi Germany, and yet when you actually look at it and compare it to what is going on conventionally and currently, this is something that we need to pay attention to and note that these guys are not out after your best interests. They want you to think they are, but guess what? It is not the case.
Yeah, be careful out there, folks. You know, it's the world is changing, and it's not what it used to be. I think, you know, there's been a lot of reference to that book, George Orwell, 1984, and it seems like that we're already there, I guess.
Well, the scary bit is Orwell wrote it for it to be a warning, not a handbook on how to do it, right? There's a great phrase that is used and has been used a lot, ladies and gentlemen. It's called, we, as conscious individuals, have the obligation to seek and speak the truth.
Yep.
What they're doing, what the powers that be are doing is they're recasting criticism as espionage and dissent as treason. Ha! Is your government's agenda in your best interest? No, I don't know. Color me curious. They also subvert the rule of law. This is when the government can go in and say, well, that banker stole all your money, but he was just silly, or he was just stupid. We won't incarcerate him. This, again, these things are food for thought that we need to pay attention to, let alone what they do in the marketplace, which is what we tend to focus a lot on, and how they manipulate the price of gold, they manipulate the currency, they bail in and then bail out, or bail out and then bail in. There's a lot of things going on, ladies and gentlemen, that really a blind man on a galloping horse could see. We just want to call your attention to it, because it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not something that we should or can ignore.
Yeah, it seems there's a lot of, you know, regarding this Edward Snowden guy, I find it kind of odd that they label him as a spy now, because a spy is somebody that's from a foreign country, you know, spying on your country for foreign interest. But this guy, he was an American citizen, and he released information to protect Americans. So he should be called a patriot, not a spy. I mean,
he's trying
to protect the Canadians, or the state, did I say Canadian? American citizens. Against their own government. So that's not a spy. He would be a patriot, because he's looking out for the best interest of the American citizen. I think I don't know what other information he released, but I don't know, obviously he's, I guess, on the top of the wanted list by the government or whatever. But
Bosco, one of the things that happens in this book that we're chatting about last week, the book called Currency Wars, written by a guy named James Rickard. One of the things that we're chatting about is what the Americans, what actually the globe is doing right now, the global military powers, is they're going about creating war games where instead of using bombs and guns and bullets, they're using financial instruments to wage war. And one of the things, and one of the ways that they can wage war in war games is to do that very thing, manipulate financial markets to create currencies that are backed up by gold, which is what the book is all about, the currency wars. The other thing that they can do to wage war is this very thing, surveil citizens, incarcerate citizens, charge their seeking and speaking the truth as dissent and treason, and incarcerate them, fire them off into prisons because they're not acting in your best interest. Nonsense. Phooey. As my grandfather would say.
Yeah. No, it's you know, it's a strange situation. I know that I was listening to that interview by Jim Rogers, and, you know, he's always been, I guess, openly honest about things that are going on. He criticizes the central bankers and central banks themselves, and, you know, I guess we've had prosperous economies before central banks even existed in America. There's, you know, a couple of different attempts, I guess. I don't really know that much about the history of central banks, but I think this year, this December, is going to be the 100-year anniversary of the Federal Reserve. So I don't know if that's going to change things or not, but I mean, the central banking system, I don't know, I think needs to be reevaluated and or changed in some way. Some people are talking about introducing Glass-Steagall again. Whether or not that's going to work, I don't know. I think that may disrupt the system quite a bit. But, folks, like one of the comments that Jim Rogers always says, too, is, and I asked him about it when I interviewed him a couple of months ago, is about the balanced and diversified approach. He stated that that never really works. And coming from a guy who is considered one of the most successful investors in the world, I take what he says seriously. And when you think about it, you know, a balanced and diversified approach is really an excuse for someone to say, oh, well, I was wrong on that decision, but I'm right on this one. And, you know, you have money spread out. So it's really, I think it's an excuse for people that really don't know how the markets function, and they'll spread your money around, and they'll be right on something because, you know, you spread it around. It's like the shotgun approach, right? But if you really know what's happening, and I mean, Jim Rogers, for example, he started out, he was one of the first guys to come out in the, I guess, late 90s or early 2000, and it's evidenced by his book, Hot Commodities, that we're going to be in a commodities bull market. And we are. We have been, and it, I think there's still many years to go. And, you know, it's very rare that you see somebody come out with that much of a focused view. So he's somebody that understands what's going on, and he says he's never been balanced and diversified. He makes his decision, makes his trade or investment, and you know, and goes with it. So this is, you know, folks, you have to be careful. And one of Jim Rogers' most famous advice is, invest in things that you understand, which makes complete sense. I mean, if you want to invest your money, you know, pick a topic and study it and make sure you understand what you're investing in. You know, whether it's in the precious metals market or technology or medical stocks or energy or commodities or whatever the case may be, real estate, you know, make sure you understand all the different angles and aspects of that investment before you put your money in. This is just common sense, if you ask me. I mean, why would you put your money at risk into something that you don't understand? So with people that don't want to invest in gold, that's fine, but invest in something that you fully understand. If you're opening up a bakery, invest in your own bakery and then understand how the bakery business works, or a gas station, or whatever, you know. But
I want to chat a little about that, because I think it's very important, and it's a topic that is quite stunning and shocking in terms of the research going on about it. We have a culture that is prudently has access to all kinds of information. So you can expertise yourself. You can expertise yourself in almost anything if you put your mind to it. We also have a culture, or we also have a predisposition in society to get an expert to tell you what's going on. So here's what having an expert tell you what's going on has done in terms of some of the research. Okay? And here's the folly that people get things in. And I'm going to give you an example of a very good friend of mine who's a pilot, and he was a trainer. He trained people how to fly. And they were taking off, and his student was taking off, and the student was doing all the things right, and the instructor said something to the student that was completely incongruous with their safety and well-being. The student heard the instructor pull up your landing gear. And what the instructor said was, check your landing gear to make sure, just to be part of the check. What he heard was pull up the landing gear. They were still on the ground, ladies and gentlemen. They were traveling at 60 knots, and he pulled up the landing gear and crashed the aircraft. Nobody got hurt. The plane was devastated. But the default was, well, he's an expert. He's telling me what to do. That's how they con you into thinking what to do. So they tell, go and do this. Well, don't go and do anything until you've done your own research, until you become self-reliant, until you feel comfortable with that. Because, you know, what's the phrase that our parents used to tell us, Bosco? Well, all the kids are doing it, Mom and Dad. They're all wearing short pants, right, or they're all wearing tank tops. And Mom and Dad would always say, well, if they all told you to jump off the bridge, would you go and do it?
Yeah.
And that's something to always keep in mind. This is a very important attribute of self-reliance. Does that make sense, Bosco? Does that, shouldn't you go and research it? Are there other people around who are saying the same thing? Are these guys experts in and of themselves? I remember doing some work with a guy who was a very successful investor. And one of the things that struck him as completely ridiculous was that he would chat with people who were doing the how-to gurus. And all you do is buy their book. And he'd actually ask them, have you ever made any money at this? And they'd all go, no, I make all the money just selling the books on how to make the money.
Yeah.
How good is that? That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So there is access to this information, ladies and gentlemen, and it behooves you to use this information because the experts want to con you into doing and acting in their best interests, not in yours. Actually, Bosco, I think we're probably pushing our time here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're at the end of our time here, so we're going to close out with that, folks. What Jeff is saying, become your own expert, question everything and do your own research. So, folks, with that, we thank you for joining us this week. And, Jeff, thanks for your time again. And we'll hope to hear from you all next week. And enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Bosco, and thank you very much for allowing us to be of service, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, goodbye.
See you next week.